I'd like for you to turn with me tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Reading the first four verses. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine, of course, simply means teaching. Exhort, Paul writes to Timothy, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. I believe it was 2 weeks ago, I opened up the iPad, and on Google, I saw this caption, Top 5 Heresies of American Evangelicals. Top 5 Heresies Among American Evangelicals. And that got my attention. I had to read the article. And the article is based on this year's State of Theology survey conducted by Ligonier Ministries and Lifeway Research. Now, this that I'm going to mention first was not one of the top American heresies, but in my opinion, this is where it all begins. This is where it all begins. 26% of American evangelicals said that the Bible is not literally true. 26%. This number increased 11% in 2 years. In 2 years, it increased 11%. You and I both know that this has been Satan's manner from the very beginning. We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 when we first read about him as he approached Adam and Eve, and his first words, his first recorded words were these, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's always been his mode of operation, to call into question the word of God. And that's what he did first with Eve. He called into question, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And then secondly, after calling into question, he flatly denies the word of God. You shall not surely die. Those were his words. God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Satan questions the word of God and then flatly says, you shall not surely die. I believe, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, as you look above these words that we read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God uses His Word. God the Holy Spirit uses His Word in converting a sinner. And then He uses His Word in building up or edifying a believer. We never get away from the Word of God. And I say with the Apostle Paul, let God be true, but every man a liar. When there comes a difference between man's word and God's word, let God be true and every man a liar. Now I'm going to give you, the Lord willing, the top five American heresies. But as I said, in my opinion, this is where it all begins, when men and women began to question the Word of God. The first top American heresy is Jesus is not the only way to God. Jesus is not the only way to God. 56% of evangelicals believe that lie. That's up 42% in 2 years' time. What that means, of course, when a person says that Jesus is not the only way to God, it first of all, it calls the Lord Jesus Christ a liar. It calls Him a liar because His Word, and they're not hard to understand, His words are not difficult for anyone to understand. When He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Now think about the fact that when He was in the garden, facing that cup that the Father had given Him, the cup, and He saw, not a literal cup, I'm not saying that, but seeing the fact that He was going to take the sins of His people upon Himself and what that it would entail, eventually being separated from His Father. And crying those awful words on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But in the garden there, the night before when he was praying, he said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if there could be another way, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If there are other ways to God, as 56% of evangelicals say, if there were other ways to God, then why would God, who is a loving Father, in effect, say it's not possible? He said, he prayed, Lord, if it be possible. The Lord, in effect, said, it's not possible. It's not possible that sinners be reconciled unto me in any other way. There has to be satisfaction, my justice, because I'm holy and I'm righteous and I change not. My justice must be satisfied before any sinner may approach unto me, may come unto me. The blood of bulls and goats, even though God gave those ordinances under the law, was not able to take away sin, nor the blood of 1,000 sinful men. Could not remove one sin. It took the blood of the Son of God. It took the death of the Son of God, satisfying God's holiness, His justice, in the place and in the stead of those who come unto Him. That is a heresy, isn't it? That is a heresy. But so are these others. But that was number one. Number two, Jesus was created by God. 73% of evangelicals believe that Jesus was created by God. Up 66% in 2 years. That's amazing, isn't it? Up 66% in 2 years of professing evangelicals believe that Jesus was created by God. You know, in church history, there's a heresy called Arianism. It was called that after Arius. He was a presbyter in the church at Alexandria, Egypt. And he began teaching, and quite a few followed him. He taught that Christ was a being who had been created before time, and then through Christ, all of the creation came into being. That God created Christ first, and then Christ created all things. His teaching made Christ greater than man, but still less than God. You've all heard this saying. We probably used it. One iota. It doesn't make one iota of difference. Well, I'm told that is the smallest letter in the Greek alphabet, iota. And at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, there was a deacon from the church named Athanasius. And he was a defender of this truth. That the Son of God is not created by God. That He is one with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And they tried to work out a compromise, I'm sure. But he stood his ground. And he said, no, the word they were using, if you put iota in there, that's not the truth. That doesn't declare the truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. By placing that one letter in that word, men were saying that Christ was of a similar nature of God. But without that letter, that word proclaimed, He is the same nature. He is one with the Father. Out of that council came this creed. I thought I'd read it to us tonight. Very simple creed. We believe in one God, Almighty Father, maker of all things, seen and unseen, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begotten of the Father, and only begotten. That is, from the essence of the Father, God from God, light from light, the true God from the true God, begotten, not made, of one essence with the Father, through whom all things were made, both in heaven and the things upon earth, who for us men, and for our salvation descended and became flesh and became man, suffered and arose the third day and ascended into the heavens and is coming to judge the living and the dead. We believe also in the Holy Spirit. Very simple creed they formulated at that council, but it tells the truth, and that is the truth from the Word of God, and that's the truth that believers have professed down through the ages, that He is one, because that's what the Scriptures teach. That's what the Word of God says. Forget about the creeds. I like to read that creed, but forget about the creeds. What does the Word of God say? And the Word of God is clear. That He is the only begotten, not made, but the only begotten of the Father. Of the same essence. Men cannot understand. None of us can the Trinity. But that shouldn't surprise us. Look at this word here in Colossians chapter 1, just a moment. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. I'll begin reading in verse 14. Colossians 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. The image, the express image, as it reads in Hebrews chapter 1, the express image, to see him is to see God, because he is God. I read this illustration years ago, but it stuck with me. And that is when they used to seal, kings would seal a document. They'd put wax down and they had a ring and they would push their ring down into that wax and it would leave the exact imprint of the ring, the express image of the ring. Christ is the express image of the Father. He's not created, but is the Creator. Read on here in Colossians. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Now, all things were created by him. All, A-L-L, all things, that means he was not created. And we see that in other passages of Scripture as well. John chapter 1. All things were made or created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things. And this is very interesting here, needs to be taken note of. All things were created by him and for him. In other words, each and every one of us here tonight, we were created by him and for him. By him and for him. That's the reason till a person comes to rest, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll never have peace. They'll never have peace in this world, in their conscience, in their heart. We were created by him, and we were created for him. And until we come to submit to him, we'll never have that peace in our heart. There's a vacuum. I think it was Augustine who spoke about there being a vacuum. God had created man with a vacuum. And the only one who can fill that vacuum is Christ. I thought about that hymn you led just a few minutes ago. He lives. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. What did Paul say? Christ in you, the hope of glory. God the Holy Spirit inhabits and dwells every child of God. We were made by him and for him. The third top American heresy is Jesus is not God. Now that seems to be saying the same thing, but evidently it isn't. First, Jesus was created by God, but then Jesus is not God. 43% of evangelicals agreed that Jesus was a great teacher, but he's not God. And you wonder, how can anyone profess to be an evangelical and deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? How could you think he's a great teacher and deny that he is God when he taught that he is God? You wouldn't think a person who teaches lies is a great teacher, would you? Not hardly. And yet to say he's a great teacher but not God, well, he taught that he is God. He said, I and my Father are one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And the fourth top American heresy is the Holy Spirit is not a personal being. 60% of those who responded think the Holy Spirit is just an impersonal force. Look with me in Acts chapter 13. And there are so many verses of Scripture we could look at which plainly, clearly show God the Holy Spirit has the attributes of a person. Can you lie to a force? Can you? Can you lie to a force? You can lie to the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira did. And the wonderful thing about that passage there, I believe that's Acts chapter 6, is Peter said, first of all, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And then he said, you lied to God. In other words, the Holy Spirit, he is God. But here in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, forces don't talk. They don't speak. He did. He did. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. God the Holy Spirit called these men to the missionary work that they went forth accomplishing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned Arius just a few minutes ago, the Arian controversy, denying that the Son of God is God, that he's created by God. But it doesn't surprise us to know that he also taught that God created the Son, Christ, and then Christ the Son created the Holy Spirit. So actually they deny the deity of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now you say, are those people around today? Well, sure they are. The Jehovah's Witnesses, that's just a resurgence, a resurrection of Arianism. That's exactly what they teach. He's not one. He is a God. They will admit that. He is a God, but he's just a little bit, just a tad lower than Almighty God. No, he is God. He is Almighty God. He's one with the Father. The testimony of the Word of God is very clear that God the Holy Spirit is a person and that he's one with the Father and the Son. In the baptismal formula, as they call it, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you notice in the name, what the name, singular, and then that definite article between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I read it in preparing these notes. I ran across this statement that I thought was very good. It is necessary to decide whether the Holy Spirit is a power or force that we are to get hold of and use. That's the way many people present him today, as a power, as a force that we're to get a hold of and to use, it is necessary to decide whether the Holy Spirit is a power or force that we are to get hold of and use, or whether He is a person of the Godhead who is to control and use us. Makes a big difference, doesn't it? The one conception, this author went on to say, the one conception leads to self-exaltation and self-assertion. The other to self-abasement and self-renunciation. And here's the fifth, the last top American heresy. Humans are not sinful by nature. 57% agreed with this statement. Here's the statement. 57% of evangelicals agreed with this statement. Everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. Everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. This is, of course, contrary to the Bible teaching that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It denies original sin. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ to that rich young ruler when he came running to Christ and kneeled down and said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him and said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God." You say, "Well, isn't Christ good? He's God." Yes. But that man approached him as just another man. A good teacher, no doubt. A good teacher, but just a man. And the first thing he needed to learn, and you know, he went away sad after the Lord spoke with him. He went away sad. But the first thing he needed to learn was that all men have sinned. Christ came into this world to save sinners. Let me give you my three reactions to this article. Five top American heresies among evangelicals. My reaction, number one, thankfulness. Thankfulness. I'm thankful that I do not believe one of those lies. I'm thankful that I'm not guilty of teaching any of those heresies. And I'm thankful that Satan has not blinded my mind to these glorious truths. And I'm thankful that I am part of this fellowship of believers. And I believe with all my heart tonight, if a man came into this pulpit and began to teach any of these five top heresies, you folks would recognize immediately that's not the truth. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that God has taught us. Number two, that was my first reaction, thankfulness. Oh, I'm so thankful I'm not believing those things and I'm not teaching those things. Can you imagine standing before God Almighty one day having to deceive people teaching those lies? Number two, my reaction was acknowledgement. First of all, thankfulness, and second, acknowledgement. I acknowledge that it is only God who hath made me, us, to differ by the grace of God. That's the only reason we're not believing those things. That I'm not teaching those things by the grace of God. And the third thing, resolution. I resolved in my heart once again to the best of my ability to hold these truths and to pass them on to the next generation. to hold them, to proclaim them, to defend them, the truth from the Word of God. Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. If we just stay with this book, we'll be okay, won't we?
Amen.
We'll be okay. But if we turn away from this book or begin to deny that this book has errors, that it was written by men apart from God the Holy Spirit's inspiration, then we're subject to believe any one of those heresies. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen.